Welcome to Cloud Talk Radio, where listeners hear from business leaders about relevant topics from marketing to cash flow management. Tune in every week with hosts Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix and stay engaged with a growing audience of like-minded entrepreneurs. Learn critical business skills and get answers to questions that help you manage better businesses. Cloud Talk Radio, your business resource in the internet age.
Welcome back to Cloud Talk Radio. This is your host, Keith Enix. Thankful that you guys are listening in today. I hope you had a wonderful week. We have a really cool show today. I've got a guest, Jeremy Smith. He is the Block Small Business Director at H&R Block. He's going to be talking about the Lean Startup approach and why this approach is so critical to growing a successful company today. I'm really looking forward to interviewing him. And you guys are going to really appreciate this. There's some really good points here made on how to build the measure, learn, feedback loop, for instance. And what is the Lean Startup methodology all about? Hey, if you haven't listened to our radio show in the past, go ahead and check out our past radio shows at cloudtalkradio.com. We have a lot of great business leaders on there who are talking about how to grow your business from building your company financially at a strong place, building your sales, building your marketing, all those things that are going to help you build your business, go through those different phases of growth within your business, and all the way to that exit strategy that you want to do. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and have Jeremy here and on in just a little bit. But before we do that, I just want to mention CloudFest 2015. I hope you guys are going to be there. Jeremy's also going to be there. And he's going to talk about what he's actually presenting at CloudFest, which is pretty exciting. So you'll be able to shake his hand there and such and get to know him. And I'll also be there as well. I'm going to be speaking on marketing, and it would just be great to see you guys. So CloudFest 2015. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to be bringing Jeremy on the show. See you guys in a sec.
Dust off your concert t-shirts. CloudFest 2015 is coming to San Diego from August 12th to August 14th. At the beautiful Paradise Point Resort, the only place where 12 CPE, 4 educational tracks, nationally known speakers, and the chance to win $5,000 hit the stage for 3 days. CloudFest is a rock festival-inspired educational event where you can obtain the skills to improve your business. Additionally, meet the faces behind the scenes at the Cloud9 Realtime team. Register now to be part of the band and take your business to the next level. Just go to www.cloudfest2015.com. That's cloudfest2015.com.
Well, welcome to Cloud Talk Radio. This is Keith Enix, and today we have a very special guest who is the Block Small Business Director at H&R Block. His name is Jeremy Smith. And today we are going to be talking about the Lean Startup approach. Why is this approach so critical to growing a successful company? A big topic today, and I'm excited to have a professional here with us. He's going to help us kind of understand more about what that means. Jeremy, glad to have you on the show today. Why don't you go ahead and start off with just giving our listeners a little bit of your background and how you ended up at H&R Block.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me on, Keith. I appreciate it. So, I've been in the finance business my whole life. I've been in investment banking and private equity and mostly all in New York City. And my last 5 years, I was the chief strategy officer of a financial technology startup. But I was in New York for around almost 15 years or so, and I hated it for about 15 years. I was ready to get out.
I kid you not, Jeremy, so many people say that on here. and I just an aside, but it seems like, you know, you go through college and you think, oh, I'm going to get that job, you know, and then you move on and you realize, wow, that wasn't as glamorous as I thought, you know.
That's true. Yeah. It just wasn't me. It wasn't my style. I was born and raised in the Midwest and, you know, a city where it costs $3,800 a month for a awful one-bedroom, 1,000-square-foot apartment just isn't my kind of thing. So was looking to get out of New York, and interestingly, boy, I would say the majority of the people I was talking to, these are friends and colleagues in New York and San Francisco, said to me, you know, you should really think about Kansas City. which was interesting because none of these people were from Kansas City. I didn't ask them to name a city for me. They just, you know, one after the other, unsolicited, said, take a look at Kansas City. So I said, all right, since no one will shut up about it, I'll take a look at Kansas City. And I did, and one of the places that's very prominent in Kansas City because its headquarters here is H&R Block. So I was talking to some people at Block, and they were looking to bring someone in to head up new product development of the U.S. retail division, which is all the 12,000 offices around the country. And it was very, very intriguing to me, you know, the task of helping to grow, you know, this very old established organization. And so I took it, and probably 3-4 months in, as I was looking at, okay, what new product should we be developing, I realized that, gosh, there is a real opportunity in the client accounting services space. And I say that because, you know, there are national accounting firms, right? But Ernst & Young, Deloitte & Touche, et cetera. But all of those large nationwide firms serve large customers, large corporations. There's really no such thing as a nationwide local accounting firm. And when I sort of realized that and had that little epiphany, I realized that we had our opportunity, that we had our new product, or more to the point, our new business line that we should really be focusing on here at Block, developing that nationwide local accounting firm. And it's just that the concept was so powerful to me, and the, I don't want to say obviousness of it, but it just made so much sense that I said to myself, this is it. This is the right idea. And then I said to the powers that be here, you know, this is a big opportunity that's going to require a singular focus. And so I'd like to give up my new product development responsibilities and just focus on heading up Block Small Business. And fortunately, they said that sounds good to us. And so that's what I've been doing for a little over a year here.
That's great, Jeremy. I can tell the passion in your voice. I think that's awesome. You have a passion for small businesses.
Absolutely.
Now when you – so with small businesses, there's always some bumps in the road in starting that out. And there's this concept that's, of course, been talked about for so long called the lean startup methodology. And what to you does that mean? What is the lean startup methodology all about?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because what it means to me, and it's definitely part of the lean startup philosophy, but I may put more emphasis on it than others in terms of this being the core principle of lean startup. And it's simply put, we are all wrong. And that is as simple as I can put it. It is that seed from which everything else follows when it comes to the lean startup methodology. Because essentially the lean startup approach to things is to start very small with something, you get it out there fast and little in the market, and then have the market show you what they do and don't like about your product, and then iterate and make changes to your product until you have made it into exactly what the market wants. Well, the only reason that approach makes sense, going out very lean with something small and simple, is because everyone is wrong. If everyone was right in terms of what they believed their product should be and what they believe the market wants, then you could absolutely go big. In fact, it would make total sense. If you were right in your beliefs, you know, I believe the market wants product X, well, then you'd be an idiot not to go out big because you know what they want. So make it all of it right now and get it out there so you can make as much money as soon as possible. And that's the correct approach if we're all right. But we're not.
I love that. Yeah.
We're all wrong. And because we're all wrong at the beginning, that's why it makes sense to go out lean, to go out small, because then you spend the least amount of time and the least amount of money being wrong, and getting out in the market, letting the market show you what is right, and then make those changes, make those iterations to eventually make that product right. In other words, into what the market wants. So that's kind of how I, you know, view the lean startup methodology.
I think it's really easy just to kind of think, okay, you know, how do I start lean? And the way you start lean is beginning with that
I'm wrong, you know, I'm iterating towards success, but I just remember going out, because I started off in the print marketing industry, and I definitely saw, I kind of call it being in the frontline trenches with small business owners, and I got, the cool thing about being in those trenches with small business owners was I got to see business owners who were successful on a small scale and business owners who went out of business. Every year I'd see the same passion to build a business, but they would fail because of, you know, some factors. And often I heard exactly what you said as far as the opposite, though. They thought they knew how to run their business. They thought they knew the exact target market, and they weren't going to budge on what that meant. So how, it's so interesting. Maybe thinking about the further stages of business, why is it so important to have that kind of mindset? What are some of the things that can be fixed?
Yeah, so you know, I guess the answer is everything and anything can be fixed. And that's where the term pivot comes from, which is that's not where pivot comes from. I'm sure it comes from like 700 years ago, but that's where the term more recently has become popular, which is you can change anything and everything about your business in order to get it right. And again, right meaning what the market wants. You know, whether you got the color wrong initially, whether you got the type of customer you should be addressing, whether you got the messaging wrong, whatever it is that you got wrong, any and all of it, you have the ability to change it. But you can only change it, or let me put that another way. It is only practical to change it if you started out small. Because if you started out in the beginning with something huge and monstrous, it is nearly impossible, if not actually impossible, to make the changes that you need in order to get your product and your company right. Because it would take too much money and too much time to make all of the changes that you need to do in order to get that product right. And that's what happens when you build it big. The way I think of it is like a puzzle. If you have a 1,000-piece puzzle and you try to, you know, just put it all together like you think it should go, and then it turns out it's wrong and it's just this jumbled mess, that is nearly impossible to fix. Versus if you just start with an 8-piece puzzle and you go out and you try to put it together and you know what? It's all wrong. But so what? It's only 8 pieces. It's much, much easier to fix that. And so that's kind of where the lean comes in, is it makes you, not only does it get you out to market faster and less expensively, but it also enables you to make those critical iterations and changes in market faster and less expensively.
I want to talk about some more specific changes here in a few more questions, but before we do that, I'd like to ask you, what is the build, measure, learn feedback loop, and how do you make it work?
Right. So build, measure, learn is essentially the feedback loop, as you said, Keith, that is at the core of the Lean Startup Method, where essentially what they're saying is, you know, start with learn. In other words, go out there the first time, learn what your customers want, or at least what you think they want, so that you can form an initial hypothesis.
Or what you think maybe are your customers.
Exactly.
that changes too.
That's exactly right. Yeah, maybe your product's right, but your customers are wrong, so to speak.
Exactly.
You pick the wrong segment. Absolutely. But go out there, talk to people. Have as many – there's a new product here we're going to be launching soon, and our goal was 50 interviews in 30 days. And frankly, that was a little longer than I would have liked. I prefer 50 interviews in 10 days, but you know, we have a number of things going on here, so we had to stretch it a little bit. But 50 interviews in 30 days of small businesses out there to try to understand what is it that they need in this specific area that we were trying to address, so that we can form that initial hypothesis. Now, again, we know it's going to be wrong, but instead of being 100% wrong, it'll be 86% wrong when we go.
Right.
So it's a little bit better. So that's learn. Then step two is build. Now that we have learned what we believe our clients want, or who we believe our clients or target clients will be, now it's time to build something to address that need. And I'll say two things on this step of build. First is that most companies take this step first. They don't learn first, they build first. And that's a huge problem, because how can you build something when you don't know, or at least have a better sense, what it is, who your customers are and what it is that they want? And so you end up building something that is not 86% wrong, but instead is 100% wrong. And why start out there if you don't have to? So
exactly. I'm so glad you're addressing that too, Jeremy, because I'm guilty of this as well, you know.
We all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, even I am. Even knowing better, I am guilty of this too at times.
And it's kind of like you have a passion for something, and then you build it, and you're like, oh great, I have this. Kind of reminds me of an artist. I did music in college, so you know, you build this piece of music, and you're like, wow, this is great, but it actually isn't useful for the context of really anything, you know, as far as making money. So, you know, maybe the starving artist, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely a glory and a beauty to that, but then there's the practicality of that, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's true. And that getting to the practicality, well, practicality in a sense, which is the second thing I was going to mention about building, is building what's known in the lean startup world as a minimum viable product, or MVP. And that's to say, that's to remember, even though you learned, right, even though you talked to prospective customers, you're still 86% wrong. So don't build something huge and expensive given that you're 86% wrong. Instead, build that minimal product that is needed to test your initial hypothesis. And doing that, you will spend less time and less money, and therefore you will be out to market faster and with less risk, because you have this minimum viable product instead of this huge hulking mess.
Right.
And then it gets to the third step of measure, which is, now that's great, you built your product, your minimum viable product, it is out there, but now you have to measure if it's working or not. Because it doesn't matter what people say, it only matters what they do. They can say they love your product all they want, but do they actually use it like they love it? And do they use it in the ways that you intended or not? So that is where the measure comes in, and you need to have key metrics, not vanity metrics, you know, but metrics that actually measure whether your hypothesis is correct or not, and if it's not, in what ways is it incorrect, so that you know whether your product is working or not, whether you know it's viable, whether it's something you should continue to invest resources in and grow it and build a business around.
Yeah.
And once you measure those things, then you need to look at the data that comes in and learn from it and say, you know what? It turns out nobody is using these three features that we thought they were going to love, but it turns out they are using it for this totally unintended reason. And so what we're going to do now that we've learned that is iterate or rebuild our product, make tweaks to our product so that it gets rid of these things that they're not using and it optimizes for those things that they are using. And then we're going to measure that again and see how this second version is behaving and performing in the market. And once we measure it, we'll take those metrics, we'll learn from them, and then we'll build a new, and meaning not build a completely new product, but tweak on the old, on the existing product. And that is the, you know, learn, build, measure cycle that or feedback loop that the lean startup methodology is built upon.
No, it's fantastic points. Fantastic points. I think of, you know, some of the software that is out there, and just that's kind of obviously a big deal, the managed software services and such, and not building out the whole entire system. We're in the process of actually developing some software for clients on a reporting side. Well, there's a whole list of potentials where software can go, as even out to a full marketing automation suite software, which is just hugely popular right now.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to test out, if we make it easier for people on the reporting side, is that something that they'd actually use? And I think you make a great point there, because you might be able to sell the client and say, oh yeah, that sounds really great, but then on the back end you're seeing they're not actually even using it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's fantastic points you make. Well, you know, it must be really challenging to do something like this without a large corporation. I do think about that with branding with some of our small business listeners. You have a big brand with H&R Block, so you can kind of push a new product and make that work. But what do you think are some critical elements of success for small business owners that they can take away if they don't have a big brand they're trying to push and, you know, come out to market with an MVP?
Yeah, and, you know, I'll tell you, it's interesting. A big brand and a big company is a double-edged sword. To your point, you have a lot of resources behind you if you can rally the firm behind your cause. And you have a brand that can oftentimes help you, you know, skip those first two painful steps and get right into, you know, a market acceptance and you know, just have people going, oh, you know, McDonald's is now doing chicken nuggets. Makes sense. Now they're doing chicken tenders. Gotcha. You know, you don't have to build credibility. The brand is instant credibility. But I'll give an example for H&R Block, which is we may have credibility in the tax space, but we don't have credibility in the accounting services space, which is the arm of H&R Block that I'm building, you know, now. And so what we find is, you know, from a market perspective, we have pretty good adoption, right? People get that H&R Block can offer, you know, bookkeeping and payroll and bill payment for small businesses, and, you know, we're feeling pretty good on that side. But what's interesting is we find on the talent acquisition side, that's where our brand is kind of showing the two edges of the sword, because people are like, oh, well, good, a big secure company, that's nice. But does H&R really, can they really do this? Is this the place where I want to be a bookkeeper or I want to take my CPA license? And that's where initially we found the biggest pushback against our brand is in talent acquisition. And it's kind of taken us, I mean, me literally getting in front of people and saying, hey, this is the vision. This is what we can achieve, this nationwide local accounting firm. We can do something special here that has never done before. But it takes me really, really diving into that vision for the talent to get it. Again, those bookkeepers and the CPAs, for them to get it and go, yes, I want to be on this boat. But when they just see our name maybe on a job posting board or something, I'll bet we're seeing less success than, right, you know, the startup that you're talking about. That's just a random accounting firm startup who, you know, hung his shingle, is looking to hire two guys. You know, I'll bet that person probably has a little easier time hiring for this space than we do at this point in time. Now, I hope to change that the success that we're seeing and hoping to continue to see. But it's an interesting, you know, an interesting unexpected consequence maybe of a strong brand, is that you're strong in one area, but that makes people think maybe you're not strong in the other area because you haven't built an equally strong brand.
Is there maybe some future with the small business H&R Block where a successful accounting firm in a local area can switch over to the brand of H&R Block to get that branding, and then you guys would be able to, in a sense, acquire, you know, that successful team, sort of?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Synergistic.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. In fact, a part of our, I shouldn't even say long-term, really more of our medium-term strategy, you know, is going to be taking a look at other firms. We're all, you know, already we're an active acquirer of, you know, of tax firms. And so obviously, you know, that sort of thing could make sense for us medium-term as well for, you know, to grow our business from the accounting side of things. Yeah. You know, first and foremost, I want to be able to grow this thing organically. You know, we get customers the good old-fashioned way. And then once we're feeling good from that perspective, then we can start to take a look at other firms as, you know, like you said, as a good way to, you know, acquire the talent.
I think that's great. You know, so I look at small businesses who are trying to start out. I look at established businesses, and part of, I think, one of the problems out there is there's a ton of small fries out there that they're doing a ton of tasks, but their training as far as really being able to support other startup businesses during that full business's startup phase to maturation and such. You know, I've experienced this myself where it was almost like I outgrew, you know, our firm. So,
right,
you know, needing to kind of move on, but then feeling bad because I, you know, if they just had some sort of almost parent organization helping them out sort of in the next steps.
Right.
And management, maybe that would help. Is that kind of what you guys are seeing as far as sort of that helping out and vision for small businesses?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a great point. And it is. It's a core part of our model is that it scales very well. And I don't even necessarily mean scales across block very well, although it does. I mean,
yeah.
Point, which is it scales with our customers. So if you have, you know, 4 employees and $200,000 in revenue, you know, we have the service level for you. If you have 20 employees and $1 million in revenue, we can do that too. And, you know, we have a customer right now that has about $25 million in revenue, 55 employees and 150 contractors. Who
wow.
We serve very well. And so we are able to scale, to your point, with our small business customers.
Yeah, that's kind of nice because businesses do want to, in a sense, set and forget the number crunching, and they want to focus more on their, I think, financial person helping them organize finances with the scaling of the business, which is a huge problem. I mean, as a business owner, you're constantly trying to balance, okay, what do I focus on? Do I focus on these financials? Do I focus on sales? Or do I focus on marketing?
Right.
And if you can have somebody really help you come alongside on that financials, it just makes such a big difference.
Yeah, could not agree more.
Well, what can we expect to hear from you guys during your presentations at CloudFest? It's going to be great to see you guys there.
Yeah, you know, we're very excited to be a part of it. And, you know, what you'll generally hear from us, and well, actually, I have to step back. The biggest reason that we're coming, because there are going to be a lot of other firms like us who are out there.
You know, right, you guys are a lead sponsor this year.
Yep, exactly. And so it might be odd. It's like, why are you sponsoring a conference where your customers aren't going to be there, right? There aren't going to be small businesses there necessarily. It's mostly going to be, you know, other accounting firms and things like that.
Right.
Not to say there won't be businesses there, but, you know, predominantly it's industry who's going to be there. And so the reason that we're going to be there is because we're in growth mode right now. And so we are looking to do two things. One, we're looking to hire. And so obviously if there's a lot of accountants there, that's great because we're looking to hire, you know, bookkeepers and accountants. So so talent acquisition is a big objective of ours this year, and CloudFest is going to be a great place to meet the kind of people that we want to sell on our vision and bring on board. But also what's interesting is we are actually partnering with firms like us. And what I mean by that is tax and audit firms. Now, we don't do audit. But there are tax and audit firms out there who love to do the tax return or the audit for a $5 million revenue company, but they don't want to do the books. You know, they don't want to do the bookkeeping and the payroll and the bill payment,
right.
Those sorts of things. And so we've actually had various tax and audit, or they can't maybe because they're doing an audit and there's a conflict. So we've had tax and audit firms come to us and say, hey, you know, I have this client, I'm doing their taxes. Would you do the accounting work for them? And we'll keep the tax return. And, you know, we're building we will do taxes
Yes.
for our clients as well, but I'm building the accounting side of H&R Block. And so if you want to keep the tax return and let me do the accounting work, and I'll get a nice clean income statement and balance sheet to you, you know, come tax season. And by the way, it's going to look the exact same and be delivered on the same timeline from the same team for every single one of your clients that you send to me. Absolutely. That works perfectly for me, and it works perfectly for our tax and audit partners too, because they get a level of consistency delivered to them.
Yeah.
For the clients who they're doing the tax returns for that they've never had done before. And so there are going to be, you know, tax and audit firms at CloudFest who will make great partners, referral partners, who, you know, we can kind of send business both ways, and, you know, we can help streamline their business by, you know, giving them these consistent financials by which they can do the taxes. You know, so those are kind of the two reasons we're going to be there: talent acquisition and forming partnerships with other tax and audit firms. But really what we're going to be talking about, to your original question, I love to give long answers to short questions, by the way. I don't know if you know.
Oh, it builds the context. It's so totally fine. You're building context.
But I like it. Because to me, it sounds like rambling, but I like your way
of
building context. I'm going to tell my wife that when she says I'm talking too much. I'm building
That's right.
context.
That's right.
So in any event, what we'll be presenting at CloudFest is we're really going to be talking to people about what we're doing here with our accounting business and how we're doing. And I am, you know, I'm happy to be transparent, as much as a public company can be transparent with certain things. Happy to be transparent with everybody and how things are going, what's working, what's not working. I'm pretty much always an open book, both internally and externally. And hopefully with, you know, the demonstration of our progress and our vision and our passion, we'll be able to convince a lot of people to join us and partner with us.
That sounds really exciting. I'm just hearing your guys' vision and everything, I see some really awesome things down the road for accounting, just opportunities and everything. If there's accounts listening who want to learn more about just small business, H&R Block, and everything there, where would they have to go to learn more about that?
They could do one of two things. They can go to hrblock.com/small business. So it's not hrblock.com. It's just hrblock.com/small business. Or they can email me at jeremy.smith@hrblock.com. And that's Jeremy, jeremy.smith@hrblock.com.
That's great, Jeremy. Well, I really like your vision with lean startup approach. In fact, for business owners out there who are trying to find, you might not be an accountant, just listening in, and you have a small business, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get my financial bolt-ons in place? We had an episode a few episodes back where we talked about the four stages of business growth, and really important in that beginning stage that you get that financial bolt-on in place. Go ahead and check out hrblock.com/small business. You can learn more. I'll go ahead and put those in the description for you guys so you can learn more about HR Block. And, of course, if you're going to be at CloudFest, you're going to be able to hear Jeremy and learn more as well and meet him, shake his hand and stuff. So that'll be great. Well, if you're listening in for the first time, go ahead and hear some of our past episodes on cloudtalkradio.com. Make sure and tune in each week at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's been great to have you here, Jeremy, and looking forward to maybe having you guys on again. Obviously, really great to hear your small business knowledge. So make sure and tune in next week, guys, for our show, and you guys have a great week. Talk to you later.
Thanks so much for listening to Cloud Talk Radio with your hosts, Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix. Want to listen to past shows and stay up to date on new ones? Check them out online, cloudtalkradio.com. We'll see you next time.